All right, last week we looked at the experience of Zechariah at the birth of Christ and considered the joy that is made available to us at the coming of Jesus. And this week, for our third week of Advent, we're going to look at the experience of Elizabeth, his wife, which I think is an interesting story, and at the birth of Christ, and consider God's love for us. Talk about love today. And so you can go ahead and grab your Bibles and open up to Luke chapter 1 here. We're going to look at verses 39 through 56 this morning. As you do that, excuse me, I keep making noise here. I'm going to read you a little poem about love as you turn there. See what you think about this. Love, it's a funny word. Or is it a feeling? Is it hearts and roses, nice clothes and poses? Is it pitter-pattery or plasticky? Is it something so mysterious and reeling? I know when I have felt it at the embrace of a friend, a parent, or a lover, in the acts of kindness that I've experienced towards me or witnessed for others. At times it seems so temporary, so elusive, maybe fading. At other times it's annoying, far away, hidden, and boring. All the same, my heart longs for its feeling. I want to be loved, and I want to love. There is only one fount of love I know. There I must run again and again and drink deeply. To the eternal God who sent his Son so sweetly. This is the one who loves me so. This is the love I want to know. The question for you this morning, do you believe God actually loves you? Think about that. Often we say we believe that, right? I mean, we say God loves us. We've been singing that. But we live, I think, in ways that show we don't actually believe that God loves us. I'm guilty of this. Yes, God loves me, but I'm kind of always waiting for the next shoe to drop. Like, God, what are you going to drop out of the sky on my head? Some of us look at the hard things in our life and don't believe God loves us at all, or if he did, why would life be so hard? Or maybe why he wouldn't give me more of my desires. You know, as we consider Elizabeth's experience this morning surrounding Christ's birth, I want you to see this. God really does love you deeply. I'll say it again. God loves you deeply. We got to see this morning. And your experience of his love is meant to be good for you, but also to be shared with others and to grow you in your faith. So let's see in his word this morning Elizabeth's experience of God and his love. Let's consider this first. Experiencing God's love changes us, okay? You know, Elizabeth had a personal experience of being loved by God, and each one of us that follow Christ have had an experience. Elizabeth's story, you know, is intertwined, right, with this announcement of the miraculous conception of Jesus. And as the conception of Jesus is announced, Elizabeth's miraculous conception of her son John is also announced. If you remember last week, Zechariah the priest was doing his work in the temple, and the angel appeared to him, and this is what he said in verses 1, 13, and 16, and 17. The angel said, "Look, don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him, Christ, in the spirit and power of Elijah." Here the angel there was prophesying of John the Baptist's birth, this Elijah-like figure that signaled that the Messiah had finally come and was going to point Israel to faith in Jesus. We know, like we talked about last week, Luke 1:18, Zechariah said, "Well, how will I know this is going to be the case? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." That's a nice way of saying she's old. As Jim Harding said at our seniors meeting, she's not old, she's mature. Zechariah's being nice. But because Zechariah did not believe the angel's message, he was made mute until John's birth. Now, we don't get much of Elizabeth's take on that whole situation, right? You don't hear what she said to all of that. But it does say this, starting in Luke 1, 24 and 25. It said, after these days, Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, conceived. So what the angel said happened. And it says, for 5 months, she kept herself hidden, saying, this the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. I want you to see this. This is a statement of her saying, I have been seen by God. God has seen me. Elizabeth felt God had seen her. And usually when we feel seen by somebody, we feel loved. Right? When your friend or your spouse, loved one, they do something small for you that lets them know that they see you, you feel loved. And this is Elizabeth speaking here in the same way. You know, also in the ancient world, it was often considered a disgrace not to be able to have children, and even worse, to maybe even think this was a result of some sin in her life or in Zechariah's life. And so Elizabeth, think about this, for days and months and many years had faced reproach and the whispery small talk of her community about why she couldn't have children. And you could imagine the hurtful comments, the glances that must have been, and how painful every other birth announcement after birth announcement was to her. And all the prayers, likely, that her and her husband had offered in tears over the years asking for a child. And the reproach she faced from her community was unwarranted. It was not true. Luke told us that. These are faithful and devout and righteous people. This is not punishment for God for sin. This is a faithful couple that God wanted to do something greater in. God was withholding children for his purposes, for their good and his glory. And then Elizabeth becomes pregnant in her old age. Miraculous pregnancy announced by Gabriel himself in the temple. And Elizabeth is saying, after all those years, God has seen me and done a great miracle. He loves me. I know I am loved and seen by God. In fact, she probably spent, you know, she said she spent this 5 months away from people, and I imagine she spent a lot of that time just thinking about the fact how God had miraculously answered her prayers. You ever prayed for something for a long time? I have. Maybe even given up after a while. And then God moves. How does that make you feel? You feel loved. I remember praying for a wife when I was towards the end of my college career. You know, if you're a young person in the room, Utah's a hard place to find a Christian spouse. Like, let's just put that on the table. It's a small pond to fish in, and there's a lot of fishermen. And it's a miracle. Yeah. You know. It's a miracle if God gives you a spouse here that's a believer. And I can remember going to the U library and just having my quiet time and praying and waiting for God to answer my prayer. And then one day, right, God answered my prayer, brought Amy in the door. She got my attention. Similarly, like Zechariah and Elizabeth, Amy and I were not sure we could have kids. We were married for 10 years in our marriage and no kids. And we had prayed to the Lord, had tears over that, and then suddenly God answered our prayer, right? Now we have 4 kids, and you go, maybe, Lord, I shouldn't have prayed as much as I as I did. But one way we feel loved by God is when he answers our prayers, and many of you have experienced that. Listen to this psalm that David writes, Psalm 116, 1 and 2. He says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Isn't that a good psalm? We love God when he hears us. And Elizabeth experiences God's love for her all the years of prayer. And she stands back and says, God loves me. He's seen me. He's heard me. But listen, we know God doesn't always answer our prayers. And sometimes he says no to that prayer for a spouse, for a child, for the healing, for whatever it is. And then guess what? You actually learn to feel God's love in a different way. Because sometimes we feel God's love when he walks with us when we don't get what we think we should get or what we need or what we want and prayed for. Or maybe even when we lose something we really loved. Psalm 23, David on the other side of this says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Sometimes it's God's presence in the hardest moments of life where you experience his love the deepest. Ever been there? Not that he changes the circumstances or makes things different, but he's with you because he loves you. I lost one of my good friends when I was 24. She died of a brain aneurysm. And it was devastating to me. Shook me to my core. But God was with me. He listened to me, listened to my sorrow. He confronted me with his word, and he showed me how to think about the things by his spirit, and I felt loved, even though I lost somebody I loved. Desperately miss my friend. But God has been with me. Some of the other greatest ways I've felt God's love is in his grace and his kindness towards me in my sin. By nature, look, we know as humans we rebel against God in his ways, and the Bible calls that sin. And I know that I'm not going to make it through the day without being tempted. And often falling for whatever the world has to offer me for that day in sin. But when I come to the Lord in repentance, you know what he does? He opens up his arms. He scoops me up. He forgives me. He says, you're my child. Let's make it right. And then he blesses me. This is God's love. When I experience God's love for me, even in my lowest moments, that makes your heart sing. Like, I want to be with that God more. He loves me. Romans 2:4, as it says, it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. You know, really the message that Christ has come in human flesh that we celebrate at Christmas this time is to express to us in the world that God loves you. He didn't leave you. All our pleas for a better life, for freedom from addiction, to see sin and evil and violence in our world stop, to have the hope of a good future, to have my sins forgiven, to be at peace with God, to experience real love. When Jesus comes, God says, I heard you. I see you. And I'm here to be with you. And God says, yes, in the coming of Jesus. 1 John 4:9-10 says this, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, this is saying God loved us enough to send his Son, even when we didn't love him. We were running far from him. He came because he loves us, and he wants to erase our sin debt so that we can come into a relationship with him and be in his presence. You may be here this morning and have not experienced the love of God, right? You're not sure if God loves you. And listen, God can feel really distant when we don't spend time with him, and if our sin has caused us to be estranged from him, he can feel far away, and maybe you go, I don't know if he loves me. But the star in the sky, the baby in the manger, it's meant to remind you every year God loves you. How do we experience his love? Well, we receive Jesus as God's good gift to us. And when we receive God's gift of his son into our hearts, it changes us. This is what happens. We receive God's love, and then we begin to truly love God, and then we begin to love others. As 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. Our heart is made new with Jesus, and then it comes alive and we begin to really love God and others. In fact, this is what we'll see Elizabeth does as she is loved. Look at this. Let's look at this. People loved by God love others. Look at Elizabeth's experience here. Luke 1:36 tells us that when Mary's conception of Jesus was announced to her, it was also announced to her that Elizabeth, her relative, was barren, was miraculously 6 months pregnant, okay? And so we see that Mary quickly goes to visit Elizabeth. Now, people have long asked, why did Mary go to visit Elizabeth? Here's the answer. We have no idea. But she went. That's the story. In fact, there's nothing given, nothing said why Mary went so quickly. It could have been fear over her own news and about the conception of Christ and what she's going to do. It could have been she was starting to get reproach from people in Nazareth. I've seen people in movies give that take, that they're starting to say things about her because she's saying she has a miraculous conception. Yeah, right. Could have been to confirm her own news by what the angel said about Elizabeth. So if Elizabeth is truly pregnant, then I know what he's saying about Jesus in my womb is true. But we know in Luke 1:38 that Mary is shown to be a great woman of faith that believes the Lord. And so it's likely she went to celebrate all that God is doing. Let's look at Elizabeth's experience when Mary comes to her. Luke 1:39, it says, in those days, Mary arose and went in haste to the hill country to a town in Judea. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, this baby leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what has been spoken to her by the Lord. Okay, this is just a cool Holy Spirit moment. There's lots of things going on here that I think are so cool. Seems to be that there's this supernatural recognition of the baby John of both Mary and Jesus in Mary's womb at their arrival, and he leaps for joy. That's pretty cool, right? This is Advent joy happening right here. Luke 1:44, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby John leaped for joy. There's some great mystery to this moment, that how does the Holy Spirit commune with these babies, right? That's a great thing. Seems there's a supernatural recognition by these kids of what God is doing and who is there. And then in this moment, Elizabeth is going to express God's love towards Mary. Elizabeth has received God's love in her own miraculous event, and now she's going to pour it out on Mary. I think it's really cool. You know, sometimes even when God blesses us, we're kind of mad that he didn't do it in our timing. You ever been there? Like, Elizabeth is an old woman, and Mary is likely a teenager, and Elizabeth could have been resentful, like, God, it would have been nice to bless me when I was 17, not 75. But that's not what she did. See, a heart loved by God stands secure, and it celebrates all that God is doing, and it overflows onto other people. fact, I'd ask you today, where can you rejoice in the love God has expressed to others in blessing? Where can you rejoice with others, right? And when you do that, actually, you'll enjoy the love of God more because you're celebrating it as it goes out to all people. It's kind of like being a super fan of a winning team. You have any super fans in here? If you're a Broncos fan, I'm going to ask you to leave right now. I'm just kidding. That was for Sean. You can never get down on the field and do those things that those pro athletes do, right? Experience the thrill of the competition and all the great stuff. But you certainly can sit in the stands. Man, you can cheer them on, right? And that is a great thing. You get to participate in the win of the team and the joy of celebration as you cheer them on. And that's exactly what loved people do. When I'm loved by God and I see God loving other people, I get to rejoice in what God is doing. That is a great thing. And that's exactly what Elizabeth does with Mary. I think it's good to be, she uses this word blessed. It's good to ask ourselves, what does this word blessed mean? Right? I think our hashtag blessed culture has taken this thing out of in weird ways and given it weird cultural significance for us. Right? We got these signs in our houses and the nice cursive writing, and some people even brashly wear it on their shirts with the blessed exclamation point. Right? And in some way, it's this cliche for prideful success that, you know what, I got all the things and it's better than the things you got. Blessed, right? Spare me, right? We tend to think of blessing in our culture as things going our way, it's all favorable, or we tend to think of material blessing. We have lots of stuff. But I want to show you here, biblical blessing is linked to God's love, and it's bigger than this plasticky blessing we hang on the wall. Surely it means things could go well for us, as it does in this passage, and God could bless us with abundance, but the root of God's blessing is so much bigger. Blessing in the Bible means you are loved by God, and you get to enjoy His presence forever. He's with you. That is blessing. Listen to Psalm 21, 6 and 7. It says this, "For you make Him most blessed forever." You make Him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved. That's blessing of God. I am loved by God. He is with me. He will see me through whatever comes my way, and I can take joy in every moment as we walk together. That comes with or without the stuff. That can come with or without the prayed-for baby or with or without the spouse that you've cried for. That kind of blessing can even be present in your life as it slips away with a chronic illness. In fact, Psalm 21, 6 and 7 says, "We are blessed by God," meaning we are loved by Him and enjoy His ongoing presence, "that there is nothing throughout all eternity that will ever move us out of God's love and blessing." This is what God is announcing at the birth of Christ, that this blessing is available, that Emmanuel, God with us, can be with you. Jesus' invitation is to come and follow me, experience my love and my blessing forever. And so because Elizabeth has experienced God's love, she turns around and prophetically by the Holy Spirit pours out God's love on Mary. She is secure in God's love in her life, and she highlights God's love and rejoices in it in Mary's life. Blessed are you, Mary. In fact, some have called this Elizabeth's song of love. I like that. And she exclaims three blessing statements. First one is this, "Blessed are you among women." She's saying, look, Mary, you are loved especially by God. You have gotten the privilege to participate with God, to bear the Son of God, the Savior, into the world. Elizabeth knows she's blessed, but look, Mary, you are blessed beyond all women that have ever lived. God's love and favor is on you. And I just love that humble heart that God gives her to rejoice in the position that God has given her. And listen, Mary is such a great figure. Because she is blessed because she gets to serve the Lord and she gets to know him intimately. And it's a blessing to find our place to serve because you get to experience God's presence deeper in every way. And Mary's example encourages us to join God in what he's doing. You will experience God's love a new way. Now, Elizabeth also says this, Mary is blessed because of the fruit of her womb. She's saying, look, your son that is coming, he's especially loved by God. Matthew 3:17, God says, this is my beloved son, who I am well pleased. Father loves the son. He's put his spirit in him. Jesus will get to experience the love of God and God's presence in all that he does, and even more so because he is without sin. There's no separation between him and God. And as Christ experiences the love of God, he, like Elizabeth, turns around and pours it out on us. You know, the love of God towards Christ is part of what makes the pain of the cross where Jesus bears our sin so painful. In fact, Matthew 27:46, quoting Psalm 22, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's because God's blessing presence was withheld from Jesus for a moment as he took on the sins of the world, my sins, your sins. But God, for his great love for his son, would not abandon him forever. And he would turn his face towards him again and raise him from the dead, right? God's love endures through all things. She also says, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Mary took God at his word and believes. I love this. Mary is held up in the Bible as an example of faith to us. She's not a co-redeemer. She didn't save us. She's not to be worshipped. But we should look to her as a great example of faith, of how we as fellow followers of Jesus get to experience God's love as we step into what he has for us and walk in his presence. And how we should take God at his word and believe it, live it out. It's a great thing. God shows a personal love to Elizabeth. Elizabeth turned around, poured it out on Mary, celebrated all that God was doing. And I'd say, if you've experienced God's love, who does God have for you in this season to turn around and pour that love out on, right? We all have relatives coming into our families and different events over the time, seeing lots of friends. Who does God want you to take his love to over these days and this month? Now, finally here, we also see in this text, third thing, that the experience of God's love grows us in our faith. Now, we're going to shift to Mary a little bit here. Look at how Mary responds to the love that Elizabeth showed her as she spoke blessing over here. Here's Mary's response. Look at verses 46 through 56. It says, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and his name is holy. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months, and then she returned home. I want you to see this. Here's how Mary's faith was grown. Look at what she proclaimed. She says, look, God has seen me and loved me. Right? And even speaking about Elizabeth, she says in 148, God has looked on the humble estate of his servant, and now all generations will see that I and call me blessed. In other words, everybody will see how God has loved me, and they're going to celebrate it, just like we do today. Similar to what Elizabeth said in Luke 1:25, God looked on me, I am loved, I am beloved, I am blessed of God. And Mary says, God has seen me, he loves me, and I know he is with me. I am blessed. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good, right? And they have tasted and seen. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. We know and experience God's love towards us, and it builds our faith that he is with us. Second, Mary rejoices that these miraculous births teach us about God's strength. She said it there in verses 51 and 52. God has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. In other words, when everybody thought we were done for, God made a way, right? Echoes what the angel Gabriel said to Mary when he announced Christ's conception and Elizabeth's conception. Gabriel said to Mary in Luke 1:37, nothing will be impossible for God. I'm going to be our elder Mike Kirby here for a second. If you have an equation, a math equation, I'm a humanities major, so this may go bad. If you have a math equation and you put the God of the universe in as a variable, that changes the whole equation, right? Anything is possible. And that's what Mary is celebrating here, that barren women have babies, failed nations like Israel triumph, right? Sinners are redeemed, churches grow where nobody knew Jesus. Anything is possible. When we're loved by God, our faith in God grows. If God can do these things, and he can, and he did, then he can meet you wherever you are today. What impossible do you need God to meet you in your life today? What do you need to say to God? Like, God, I need you to meet me right here. Like, I need you desperately. And see how he comes and is with you and loves you. As we respond to him today, ask for his strength to meet you in your situation. Nothing is impossible of God. And finally, Mary rejoices that God has been true to his promises to Israel. When we see God's faithfulness, it is faith building. Look, verses 54, 55. God has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy that he spoke to our fathers Abraham and his offspring forever. Mary's referring to the fact that God promised so many thousands of years ago to Abraham that I'll make you a great nation, I will bless you, I'll make your name great, and in you, through one of your offspring, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And God has been faithful to his promises to Israel and Abraham to bring forth Christ so that all the world would know they are loved by God. And Mary says, I rejoice, and my faith is built. You might ask, why did God love Abraham and his family? Why did he love Israel and show them compassion and bless the world through them? The Bible gives a really great answer. Deuteronomy 7:7. The Lord set his love on Israel and chose you. Not because Israel was great. No, actually just the opposite, because they were weak and few. You might go, why does God love anybody? Not because they're great, but because he decided to do so. In fact, it seems when we are down and out, you are in the best place to see God's love. That is those people that God is most excited to step in to their darkness and say, here's a little light, here's my love. A baby in a manger says, you are loved. At Christmas, the coming of Christ, and Benji, come on up. At Christmas, the coming of Christ says, God loves you deeply. He made a way for you to be in relationship with him. He made a way that the sin that separates us can be wiped away at the cross. And we experience God's love for us as he hears and answers our prayers. We experience God's love as he walks with us through the hardest moments of life. We experience God's love as he forgives us. We experience God's love as we celebrate it, as it's poured out in other people's lives. And if you'll walk with Jesus, that experience of his love will grow you in faith that will endure for a lifetime. And God's love is not meant to be kept to ourselves. If you are loved, you now have an obligation to share God's love with those around you. Who's God calling you to share God's love with? As we come to a time of response today, if you need to experience God's love, you start by asking him to be Lord of your life. If he is your Lord, then you bring all your impossibles to him and say, God, I need you to walk with me in some things. I need your love and your peace and your hope right now in these things. And then watch how God walks with you. Sometimes he changes the situation. Sometimes he answers great prayers. Sometimes he says, let's just keep going. It's going to be hard, but I'm with you. Finally, let's ask and commit to him to share with those who need his love this season. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your deep love that you showed us in Christ. We were lost without a way, and you stepped into our darkness in the person of Christ, in human form, in a way we could identify with you. You know our dust, Jesus. And you love us still. Father, meet us with our love. Meet us with your love as we respond to you now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.